Thinking about joining us in Indianapolis for the Gospel Coalition's 2024 Women's Conference? The regular rate price of $239 goes up to $259 on May 8th. This is your final chance to save on your registration. Join us June 20th through the 22nd to feast together on the words of Jesus with keynote messages from Jen Wilkin, Melissa Kruger, David Platt, and more, and featuring worship music led by Shane and Shane. Sign up before the price increases on May 8th at tgcw24.org. Welcome back to TGC Q&A, a podcast from the Gospel Coalition, where each week you'll hear conversations between members of our council and friends who provide their unique perspective on your most pressing spiritual questions. On today's episode, Don Carson and Tim Keller discuss the question, what did Paul mean by, I do not permit a woman to teach? Let's listen in.
Well, 1 Timothy 2 is such a controversial passage, and I'm so glad that I'm here with a New Testament scholar, because I'm really just
punting.
I'm just an amateur. So what is Paul forbidding there, do you think?
Well, let me dare make an advertisement, first of all.
Okay.
There's a recent commentary by Bob Yarbrough,
yeah,
on the PNTC series on the pastoral epistles that is especially strong in following the trace of the argument through the text.
Hmm.
And it's one of the best treatments of 1 Timothy 2 I've seen anywhere, simply because it follows,
yeah,
the trace.
What series is that in? It's
the
in
the Pillar series.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah. So, by all means, if you want more exegetical detail, that's where I'd look first. And then the next thing I'd say, you can configure that as two limitations or one. I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority. Is that two things? Or is it one thing?
Yeah.
And syntactically, that is according to the way the Greek sentence is put together, it's two things. But it's pretty close to one thing anyway.
Yeah.
That is, the authority that was exercised in the early church,
right,
was primarily through the word. It was not from some hierarchical structure or status. So it sounds like a church-recognized, word-based authority, what has come to be called a magisterial authority, a teaching authority,
mm-hmm,
which seems to be the limitation that Paul has in mind, and that is in line with other texts that one finds in the New Testament. To my mind, that's the focus of the thing.
Interesting. First of all, just to show where we are in our cultural moment, I bought the Pillar Commentary by Bob, and I immediately opened it and read that section, and I did think it was masterful, and I said, here we go, this is great. And I like the fact that, you know, here I'm speaking as a pastor practitioner, I like the fact that you say there is some debate about whether that's two things or one, and there are people, I've seen some people who, I'm convinced by what you said that it's one thing, but there are people who say it's two, and what I do at Redeemer, what I've done over the years, and it's not a popular position, is to say, Paul is forbidding something here. Something. And I'm open to anybody who may have a different opinion from me on what that is or how that works itself out. We also have to keep in mind that different denominations invest different levels of authority in different offices. And therefore, what authority looks like in a Baptist church or a Presbyterian church or an Anglican church might be different. And so I'm open to that. I am not open to somebody saying there isn't anything he's forbidding, or that was not a transcultural statement, and therefore we don't have to, it doesn't bind us anymore. So,
or it's just so difficult, therefore we can't know. Therefore,
well, you know, that's interesting. An awful lot of young Christians are doing that. They're throwing their hands up and they're saying, "Since I can't understand it, I'm just going to do what seems right to me."
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah,
it's what a friend of mine likes to call imperial ignorance. That is to say, it's the assertion that not only I don't know, but you cannot know.
Right, that's a good point. And it's self-justifying, too. It's really saying,
what it really does is open the door to anything.
To anything I want to do. So I would generally say he's forbidding something. You show me something, and I'll work with you on that. But don't tell me he's not forbidding anything, because he is. But how would you answer that question? How do you know this is a transcultural piece of an exhortation that's true for all time and all churches?
As opposed to greet one another with a holy kiss.
Yes.
Yes. Two things. Paul grounds his argument first in the order of creation, and second in the order of the fall. Now, you can wrestle quite a long time with exactly what that means. I'm prepared to venture a suggestion, but the point is, it's hard to think of any events in all of the Bible that are less culturally dependent than the order of creation.
Certainly,
it's not as if Paul is saying, now considering the relative ignorance of women who don't have enough education, therefore I forbid such and such. That's not what he's saying.
No, he's not.
It's tied in his own argumentation to two things that are massively transcultural.
Yeah, it almost seems like he may know somebody might question. At least, certainly, it is an inconvenient that he does that for people who really don't like the exhortation. The only thing I say, again, as a practitioner, is, if somebody says, how do you know it's a transcultural passage? I say, well, how do you know it's not? Especially when you're talking about a New Testament passage, it seems to me that the burden of proof is on the person who says it's not, and it should be a very high bar. And in light of the way he ties it to the creation and the fall, it's very difficult to see how anybody could get over that. And I've heard people try to do it, and I just think they're pretty unconvincing.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of TGC Q&A. To submit a question that you would like to hear answered on this podcast, send us an email at ask@tgc.org. And remember to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening to today's episode of TGC Q&A.